it's just a rap thing. And we're back with episode 28 of The Sound of Struggle. I am Chris Parrish.
I got drafted.
Me too. We are both going to Vegas.
But also playing hockey.
Yeah. And, yeah, we're, on the, brink of the NHL expansion draft as we are recording Wednesday, June 21st. The NHL awards are about to be underway, which means the, Vegas Golden Knights expansion draft about to go underway.
If we do this right, we can actually reveal what happens as we do this.
And as per the Vegas Twitter handle, they told the Ducks they're not going to select Goldberg, Reed, or Banks.
What about Averman? That guy's a plug anyways.
Yeah. But yeah, great job for whoever's doing the Vegas Golden Knights Twitter handle. Way to make all the jokes, especially to the Anaheim Ducks, because nobody likes Anaheim.
Keep it with Anaheim. Kessler's a bitch.
Yep. Out 5 months for having no testicles.
That's what it is?
Well, I don't know. I paraphrased.
Oh. Oh, fair enough, yeah.
Actually, one might say I parish-phrased.
Parish-phrased. Yeah. Nice. There it is. But on a very solemn note, Marian Hossa is apparently going to be out all of next season. That sucks.
Yeah. And I didn't know, but I guess he's only making $1 million this year.
Yeah.
So your cap struggles continue for your Blackhawks, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, if he's going to be out, I was kind of hoping at least he'd take several million with him.
But see, no. Here's a question. I know he's slated to make $1 million this year. Is this cap hit only $1 million, or is this cap hit higher because of the contract?
I would assume cap hit would be higher, but...
Because if that's the case, then the Blackhawks really... got a little bit fortunate with him going down.
Unfortunately fortunate, yes.
Because especially with the NHL salary cap now going up to $73 million a year.
Yeah.
Gives them a little bit of security.
Yes, I agree. Although, I do find it weird. Apparently, for years now, he's having issues, skin issues, due to his equipment. And he's taking medication, and I guess that really messed up his skin and gave him some adverse reactions. And now he's... taking time off that he needs to heal himself. But you know what? Yeah, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Well, I mean, the one thing, I guess, regardless of how much he made, I guess he's gonna be on the LTIR, which is long-term injury report. And his, I mean, nothing will count anyway.
Yeah.
So that's actually not a bad thing for Chicago. But yeah, and I'm actually just looking up his cap hit right now. And it looks like, I don't know if I can get to it, apparently my smartphone doesn't want to go up and down right now.
Your smartphone's not so smart.
Nah.
It's kind of Timmy.
Yeah, it's kind of like an Irishman. No.
Dumb.
But yeah, his cap hit is actually going to be $5.275 million.
Well, that's a big amount of room off.
On that,
that's kind of nice.
I think it went up, a few million. So, I mean, that saves your Blackhawks at least...
7 to 8 million.
I mean, you can get a couple guys like that.
That'd be nice. Yeah. Be a little bit of all right.
And maybe Vegas takes, you know, a larger cap hit away. You know, maybe a Kruger instead of Van Riemsdyk.
It's possible. What I'm wondering,
could
though,
be a blessing in disguise.
What I'm wondering is, though, is that Hossa is 37, 38. Do you think he's able to bounce back from this?
I think that all depends on... his condition. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's not like they released a lot of information. They just said he's going to be out the entire year. So I guess it's serious enough for you to miss a whole year already.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's not like they ruled out he won't be ready for playoffs or anything like that.
Imagine he comes back, wins Conn Smythe. Whew, that'd be sweet. Yeah.
Speaking of Conn Smythe, Sidney Crosby won the Conn Smythe. I don't think we talked about that last time.
We talked about that quite in depth.
Yeah, no, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
It's just more of a suck it to everyone who hates Sidney Crosby because
he's a little bit of all right.
Guys, until Connor McDavid truly shows consistency, I still say Sidney Crosby is the greatest player in hockey right now.
He's not Crosby. He's Crosby. He's before anyone else.
He's Sidney Crosby.
Yes, indeed. Although, the Pens did something... and their after party that I watched, I wasn't okay with. They threw the Stanley Cup into a pool.
Yeah, you know why, though?
No.
No, okay, so when Mario Lemieux was the captain of the Pittsburgh Penguins, and they won the Stanley Cup.
Okay.
Mario Lemieux made the mistake of taking the Stanley Cup into his pool, and he ended up actually rusting the Stanley Cup because of it.
Ah.
So this was more of a joke on Mario Lemieux.
Okay, and now I'm a lot more okay with it.
Because from what I understand, they made sure they protected the cup before doing the stuff.
Okay, well, that's not so bad. And I know that Mario went and jumped in the pool and got it.
Yeah.
Which, okay, now that I know everything, that's kind of funny.
Yeah, there's been a lot of backstories about, some teams actually denting the cup at times. I think it might have been
the... stolen, disappears for
I think it might have been the same party, actually. But, I mean, I'm sure that back in the 80s, the Oilers weren't exactly the most responsible people with the Stanley
what
Cup.
What do you mean? What's the worst thing that a guy like Fuhrer, who's all coked up, could do with a cup? Really?
It's not even Fuhrer, actually. What about Messier? He was an absolute maniac back in the 80s.
Nah, he was a very stand-up quality guy.
Yeah. And then you got, just multiple. Who can honestly trust half of the guys back then in the NHL with that Stanley Cup?
True. Probably why that guy travels around with it all the time.
Yeah. The white gloves and all.
Yeah.
But speaking of the Stanley Cup, I guess they're taking a ring off the Stanley Cup. And as of, this year, Gardie Howe's name will not be on the Stanley Cup moving forward.
We talked about this last episode.
I know, but it's a for sure thing now.
I think they should do what we talked about last week. They should take that off, put it on a new cup, or start a new cup, or something. Or at least take off that ring, put it in the Hall of Fame somewhere so you can still see it.
Well, that's exactly what they're doing. They've actually full out have released their intentions and things like that. My idea that I've had since then, and that's kind of why I'm bringing this up, is why don't they just make the biggest Stanley Cup they can make for the Hall of Fame? So if it gets 9 feet tall, who cares?
You mean like that one outside of that sports store on the south side?
Yeah, just keep growing the one in the Hall of Fame.
That'd be all right.
It'll be a little bit of all right.
It would be a little bit of all right.
And I'm not against them doing this. Obviously, at some point you gotta
understand. At some point you run out of room. I get that.
But my thing is, are they going to continuously just taking the bottom plate off? Because, by realistic things, you're going to have the most room so you can put the most names. Or do they take, the oldest rings? Like, what's their plan moving forward?
It seems like they're doing the oldest rings, which go from the top again.
Yeah, so my thing, it's going to be interesting. So, because usually that's also what makes the Stanley Cup one of the most memorable trophies in all sports, because it has legacy.
It's the only one with all the names on it?
Yeah, so,
what are you talking about? The FIFA Cup has all the names?
Yeah, but it's soccer, and only dorks play soccer.
No, and I'm lying, because even though it's the most expensive, because it's made of pure gold, because that's how they show their balls, and they dive and everything. And it's the smallest cup.
Well, I mean,
it's not even a cup. It's just a ball on a gold thing.
Yeah.
What we're saying is, fuck soccer.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't even know how to sell. What kind of dorks are they?
They oversell. They oversell hard. They're good at it. Yeah.
They're like the Shawn Michaels against Hulk Hogan, but they actually mean to do that.
Yeah.
To be taken seriously. Meaning,
yeah,
not Shawn Michaels actually just doing that to make fun of Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, I agree.
So, but yeah, also going on in hockey, the NHL awards
are about 10 minutes away.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting. A couple were announced yesterday.
Foligno,
yeah,
got Mark Messier leadership. And you got the
the
King Clancy, or
the King Clancy,
or something. He got some other leadership award.
Well, the Mark Messier is a leadership award.
He got several leadership awards.
Yeah, and I believe the other one was it the Selke or the Clancy?
It's one of them.
Yeah, I believe the Selke is the best defensive forward, so it would have been the Clancy. I was looking at the favorites, and I guess Mike Babcock is favored to win the Jack Adams, and I think that is horseshit.
Of course.
Because, one, I'm just going to say this. Okay, yeah, he took the last place team and made them playoffs, but Todd McClellan took the 29th place team and made them one win away from division champs. Two, John Tortorella outcoached both guys 100%. He took the Columbus Blue Jackets into obscurity and made them legit threats going into the playoffs. Yeah. I think John Tortorella easily should win this award. If they gave it to Babcock, I swear this is just a East favored, Toronto Maple Leaf favored category.
Well, I guarantee it is.
And no, I'm sorry, because everyone says, "Oh, well, McClellan had an easy time because he had Connor McDavid." Well, let me tell you, does Mr. Babcock have an easy time because he has Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews? I mean, give me a break.
And William Nylander.
You still got to get the best guys to perform. So regardless if it's Connor McDavid, Austin Matthews, it shouldn't matter. Also, I'm going to put it out there. If you're saying Todd McClellan had it easier because he has McDavid than Babcock with Matthews, you just answered the question of who's better between McDavid and Matthews. So anybody who is saying Matthews is better and then wants to say Babcock's better because of that, suck a dick. It works against you.
You're all a bunch of retards.
Yeah. Demi!
Do we want to talk about the predicted list? What we remember? I don't remember a lot of the names.
Yeah, there's some names out there. Like James Neal?
TJ Oshie.
Well, I mean, he's a UFA.
But still.
I mean, not a lot of people are going to go.
Still. Like,
nah, I mean, UFAs are going to say no if they don't want to go there regardless.
Yeah.
And not to mention, they had 48 hours exclusive to talk with all RFA and UFAs anyway.
Yeah.
So why waste the time on them when they have 2 days prior to the expansion?
Yeah, I guess. So, Bobby Ryan. That's surprising. He helped them get to the conference finals and almost win.
But at the same time, there's a lot of side deals going on.
That's
but
true.
Supposedly Ottawa missed the deadline for a side deal because George Murphy did give a majority of teams up until Monday to make a deal, with the exception of a few who, I guess, had travel issues on the Monday and requested time to talk on Tuesday. Supposedly Toronto was one of those teams.
Of course they are.
But apparently, Pierre LeBrun from TSN reported that the Vegas Golden Knights have actually acquired 10 draft picks in the next 3 years. And 4 of them are supposed to be first-round picks to this year's draft.
That's impressive.
So, I mean, I think that shows you already the direction that Vegas is planning on going.
Vegas is being real smart about it.
Yep. So, I think George McPhee is one of the best hires that Vegas could have had to begin this franchise.
Where he used to be before this?
Washington.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah, he kind of helped put that team together, and you know what? He did a good job.
Until the playoffs.
Well, I mean, that's on the players.
Yeah.
Too many Russians and Europeans in my eyes.
Yes. Jerseys are out. They've been revealed.
Yep.
And so many people hate so many different jerseys. By the way, wasn't St. Louis one of the ones that was supposed to be changed? Because it looks identical.
Yeah, except for the numbers are white, not yellow.
Oh. Okay, so I missed that. All right.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit of things are changed on some of the jerseys, but, I mean, I don't know, like, to me, Nashville made very little difference, and people are up in arms over it, and it's just a couple lines different.
I like it. It's more plain, it's just more solid. I like it. I think it looks better, but everyone's just hating it. The other thing, too, New Jersey Devils. People are just shitting all over them. And they've actually put onto their Twitter thing, like, official account of the New Jersey Devils hockey team, "We are not seamstresses." Because that's hilarious.
Yeah. My thing...
It's not their thing. It's like, Adidas is the one, like, yes, they have a say in it, but Adidas is the one who's making this.
The owner or general manager does actually have a huge say in the design of the jersey itself. It has actually approval. Some GMs do have full approval. That's why you see some of the teams like Montreal or the Rangers, Chicago, Boston, for the most part, they don't change a lot. The original six, they don't change. Toronto's also didn't change at all.
No.
I just thought there's honestly some teams, New Jersey being one, where you did not need to make a single change to those jerseys.
And the only thing I noticed is that they took the bands on the arm from like mid forearm to basically elbow area and made them bigger.
Well, and they also took the bars from the bottom of their jersey. And I'm just not a big fan of that, you know, pure colored look. Like, if you looked at, I'd say Columbus is prime example, because they've always done it, where there's no bars on it and it really just shows, like, open space. I'm not saying fill it, because I'm totally 100% against that, like advertisements or anything on jerseys. But at the same time, it just looks unfinished in my eyes.
I don't mind it. That's the thing.
To me, it's like if we're going to go to the new WWE title, the fact, and I'm going to really just put it in comparison to the UK title. You see the big W, but then there's all the black in the background of the main plate. And to me, that just looks unfinished. Whereas you see the UK, everything's filled in. And it looks a little bit more finished and complete.
Yeah, fair enough, fair enough.
And that's kind of like my comparison of, you know, my argument.
That makes sense, I guess, yeah. See, that's the thing. I don't mind either one, though. Yeah. I take them as they are. And I think the one thing I did notice for Chicago, it looks like the little bands on the arms look a little bit bigger. It looks like all the bands, like arms, stuff like that, do look slightly larger.
Yeah, and I think for the Oilers, they actually went a little skinnier.
Yeah.
So.
And actually, the one I really like is Minnesota.
Yeah.
I really like that.
Minnesota went the Montreal and Florida look and added the white line in the middle of the jersey before and then putting on their logo.
I would actually be, because I know this year they're only doing two jerseys and the next year they're starting doing three. I'd be 100% okay if every team had like a third jersey where they all had that style. It'd be kind of cool to see what they could do with it.
From what I understand, the only teams that are going to be allowed to have a third jersey are any teams in any outdoor games or specialty games.
That makes sense.
So, and then, obviously, you're going to see, the All-Star team. If it's anything to do like last year's, they'll have jerseys based on the colors of the hosting city.
Yeah. Keeping with it real quick, outdoor game for World Juniors, U.S. versus Canada. U.S. released their jersey. Looks identical to Buffalo Bills.
It was inspired by Buffalo Bills.
So you know Canada's going to win.
Well, I mean, who likes Buffalo Bills? Seriously. You must hate yourself or hate football to cheer for the Buffalo Bills.
Or like
Jim Kelly and Thurman Thomas do not play on the team anymore. They suck. Deal with it. Pick a real team. It's like liking the Rough Riders.
I was going to say, or you like, you know, murderers or want to get killed because, you know, Buffalo Bill.
You get more respect for being a Browns fan than a Bills fan. And the Browns are
shit.
Horrible.
They're shit. Get it?
Ha! They only won one game last year.
Yeah, it's one from Cleveland.
Yeah, they lose.
Cleveland teams can't win.
At least they get the sympathetic vote. Speaking of Cleveland teams that can't win, Cavs, losers.
Yeah, Warriors won 4-1. Durant's the MVP. And it's kind of funny. They released that they refused to go to the White House. Do you think that'd change if Obama was still there?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I honestly say it changes if Trump wasn't in there, but
yeah.
But at the same time, I just think it's great that an American-based team like the Golden State Warriors, and for the most part, the majority of the players and coaches are American, they don't want to support their president. But then you take the Pittsburgh Penguins, who are comprised of a lot of non-Americans.
Mostly non-Americans.
Yeah, and they're going to go. If asked.
They said that they will go as a team if asked because they support their presidency and their country.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah. So you know what, America? It's just like us Oilers fans singing your anthem when the mic went out because we respect it. You guys need to class up and shut up.
And nut up.
Yeah. He's your president. Back him up. Deal with it. And then vote him out if you don't like him.
Yeah. Yeah. Phil Housley, new coach of the Sabres.
Yeah. See, he'll probably go to the White House.
The Sabres? Yeah, right.
No, just Phil Housley.
Oh, okay. Al Samuelson is now an assistant coach for the Hawks.
Yeah. Well, what do you think about that one?
I'm going to wait and see how it plays out. As of right now, I'm okay with it. I really am.
I think you'd be okay.
Yeah. Now let's get into some of the nitty-gritty of the NHL. Here, I'm going to list off some people that have been either parted ways or been bought out by their teams. Dan Girardi, been bought out by New York Rangers.
Yeah, he's definitely going to get picked up by someone easily.
Yeah. Matt Green, bought out by L.A.
Yeah.
Shane Doan and the Yotes are not doing anything. That's surprising as fuck.
Is it, though, because I truly believe that they have to go a new direction.
I guess, but someone who's been there for 21 seasons, like, he has, what, maybe one or two left?
Yeah, but you know what would be really ironic? If Shane Doan then signs with the Winnipeg Jets.
Actually, that would be pretty funny. Or he signs on the team that wins the cup. That would be kind of cool. He deserves one.
But apparently this came out where Austin Matthews, who grew up in the Arizona area, big-time Coyotes fan growing up, He said it was very very heartbroken to see Doan leave. So yeah. That just shows you the impact that Shane Doan meant to the team.
Well, let's say Shane Doan, Keith Tkachuk, and Jeremy Roenick all had a big part in
Nikolai Happy-Bulin as well.
Nikolai Happy-Bulin, yeah. Those guys had
Tempo all the Tempo Numanen.
There's a name I haven't heard in a while.
Yeah, I know, right? Basically, if you watched any of the Winnipeg Jets alumni game before the NHL outdoor game, they played on the Phoenix Coyotes inaugural season.
Yeah.
But, I mean, at the same time, too, I mean, that team had to make a hard decision, and I give them full credit for actually going through with it, because I believe that there's other teams, you know, Vancouver Canucks, Boston Bruins, just jump out of mind, that couldn't make those decisions with either the Sedins or Chara, and I think it's going to hurt them in the long run. I mean, I believe it hurt the Oilers when, you know, we couldn't get past Ryan Smith.
Yeah.
But then they traded him, I think, at the wrong time, and I think they brought him back at the wrong time as well.
Yeah.
So nostalgia shouldn't ever impact a decision for professional sports.
As cool as it is, this is a business. I mean, unless you're doing something like, what was it, Senators did with Alfredson. They brought him back for one game, and he played, like, a couple shifts and retired. That was it. Okay, fine.
Well, what actually, what's funny to me in that case is Alfredson actually left the team on his own.
Yeah.
He wasn't traded. He rejected a trade at the deadline, wanted to stay for that year, and then leave for nothing. Whereas a guy like Jason Spezza wanted to stay, got traded, pretty much got forced out of Ottawa. And Jason Spezza looks like a villain in the Ottawa Senators' minds. And Daniel Alfredson, who actually hurt the team more based on his decisions, isn't.
Yeah, that's Ottawa for you. That's terrible. Ontario.
I mean, no wonder why you can't fill out your own stadium when your team's in the conference final.
Yeah. Actually, Chris Neal and the Senators part ways, which isn't really surprising. At the same time, my uncle actually lives in Ottawa, and apparently Chris Neal does a ton of work for them. Which, I mean, I'm sure they all do, but it's one of those, like, you hear the other side of the guy, and you're like, huh, that's going to be a blow to the community. Not so much the team, but to the community, that's going to hurt them.
Well, I mean, we both live in the Edmonton area. Yes. Just a little outside, because we're better than Edmonton.
Oh, yeah.
But at the same time, we all know how important Matt Hendricks is to the community as well.
Yes.
We always hear him on ads and always wanting to help out the youth and all that stuff. He's also parting ways with the Oilers, and I just think that's...
Really?
Yeah. I think that's just showing you of kind of the directions teams want to go now. Now that the Oilers have other people to take control. I mean, I'm sure everyone who knows anything Oilers is a fan of Connor McDavid. So, obviously, he's going to take up that role. From what I understand, Matt Hendricks helped out with the leadership aspect. And now that's intact.
So, was he a UFA and just decided to leave?
Yeah. His contract's up. And, yeah. So, I mean, they parted ways mutually. Okay. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Matt Hendricks doesn't play a game in the NHL again and takes a job behind the scenes.
You think so?
I would not be surprised. Same thing with Chris Neal, because I just don't see a fit for Chris Neal anymore in the NHL.
No, fair enough. I mean, yeah, he's played 19 seasons there. I didn't realize he played that long. Oh, look at that. Some ass grabbing.
Yeah,
get it, girl.
There's no baseball game going on, but somebody just got to second base in front of us.
Actually, surprised. She's not. He's her sugar daddy. Like, look how much older he is. Good for you, man. Actually, he kind of looks like what the hell's his name? Not Kurt Russell, but you know those guys in those movies that one time?
You know, we'll pause that one and come back to it later.
Sure, yeah. No, I'm sure I'll think of it later. The only other person I don't. Steve Mason in Philadelphia have parted ways.
Well, yeah, and with all the goalies coming out, yeah. I mean, I'm not surprised. You got Calgary picking up Mike Smith.
Was it Chad Johnson, Brandon Hickey, and a conditional second or third round for 18 or 19.
So, but then we also saw it earlier with Dallas picking up Bishop. We saw it with Carolina picking up Darling. You got, you know, Vegas probably taking Fleury in the draft.
It's stupid not to.
Yeah. From what I understand, Pittsburgh is actually going to be giving them a pick to pick him. So they're assuring Vegas takes Fleury and nobody else by offering them a pick in compensation.
Well, fair enough.
So, but I mean, it's also $5.5 million off their cap books.
That's kind of nice for them, yeah. And then, was it Jonathan Drouin is now a Canadian?
Yes, that one was a big blockbuster.
I think it's hilarious that, you know, Yzerman, you know, takes the time, turns him into this actually good player, seems to be a lot more humble, and now it's like, gone.
Well, I mean, if you really look at it, he handled that whole situation perfectly.
Yeah.
He not only was, you know, his hand was forced by, you know, Drouin asking for a trade. He sent him down. Drouin didn't show and report to the Syracuse Crunch, so they suspended him. He came back from suspension, played with the Syracuse Crunch, earned his way back up to the main roster, finished the season, had an all right season, produced a little bit in the playoffs, then had one of his best years this past year for the team, and then when his value was high, they traded him.
For, was it Mikhail
Sergachev?
Sergachev, that's it. Well, I'd never heard of, but you informed me he's going to be a very good defenseman.
He is. He plays for the Windsor Spitfires, so he won another Memorial Cup.
Sweet.
But, yeah, he got drafted 8th overall in last year's draft. Yeah, he's going to be a great defenseman. And
imagine him and Hedman together. That'd be good.
Well, I mean, what I just don't understand is that Montreal traded two of its youngest defensive prospects, Nathan Beliot and now Mikhail Sergachev.
Nathan Beliot to the Sabres, by the way.
Yeah, and I just don't think it's a smart idea that Montreal's given up all their hope on the D just so they can get some scoring. I mean, I understand the need, but, I mean, if they're going to trade Galchenyuk, which is very likely to happen, they better get some defensive prospects in return because they really cleaned up in their farm.
It seems like they're almost trying to go for like a now, not later thing.
Yeah, and what happens if they don't win now?
Then we continue to laugh at them?
Yeah, which is going to be funny.
Yeah. The only thing I have for hockey is the Grand Rapids Griffins won the Calder title, and they got really drunk and ordered $400 at McDonald's.
It's a lot of pancakes or hotcakes.
I think that's hilarious.
I mean, that's what I would spend $400 on.
I would do other things as well, but I mean, yeah, couple, some of those for sure.
A couple McFlurries too, because I like to live life on the dangerous side.
I also live my life dangerously.
Yeah, Todd Nelson, former Oiler coach, helped coach the Grand Rapids to the win, so good job for him.
I did not know that.
Yep. So very happy for him. I'm also sticking with the affiliation team, so Edmonton Oilers now affiliated with the Wichita Thunder as their new ECHL team.
Who was their ECHL team before that?
Well, I know Bakersfield is their AHL. Bakersfield at one point actually was their ECHL team and then went up to the AHL team when the AHL had their California division, kind of said. You know, I honestly don't even know.
So, okay, just so I understand this.
I think Stockton was it, to be honest.
I don't know. I've understood that it's the NHL and then you send the guys down to the AHL. But the guys who don't make that team go to the ECHL?
ECHL, yeah.
And is that all over the country or just like on the East Coast?
That's the East Coast Hockey League.
Is that where Doug Glatt and the Halifax Highlanders play?
I don't know.
Okay.
That might be.
Okay.
I'd have to rewatch the movies.
Fair enough.
And I would gladly be happy to because they're excellent films.
They are. And you know what? The second one is coming out end of August.
Well, there you go, people. Informative.
Why are you wearing a knee pad?
Because my knee hurts.
Oh, that's smart. That's very smart.
Yeah.
Do you want me to rub it?
Maybe later.
Oh, later. Okay.
We don't want everyone to hear these sounds of struggle from us, per se, away from the podcast.
We want to give them everything. Okay.
Yeah.
Tease.
Sounds of sexuality is what we'll call that.
Sexual struggles.
These people want to hear the Sounds of Struggle podcast, not the Sounds of Sexuality.
Well, I'm sure some of them want to hear both.
You know who doesn't hear the Sounds of Sexuality?
There's quite a few, I'm sure. Probably most people that listen to this.
Well, just, you know, a certain someone who works at the Edmonton Sport Podcast Network who went on a little bit of a rant following one of our competitor's shows last week.
Yeah, that was a little bit of something right there.
Now, the only thing I could have said is why couldn't you have done that during the show instead of on a podcast?
Yeah. Nut up or shut up. But I do agree with
you. Hey, Mike, if you're going to ruin the show, you might as well do it in the ring because if you don't, their competitors will. Just saying. Just saying. And I think that's as much we need to talk about that information or that that topic.
Yeah, fuck them.
Yeah. So
Baseball.
Yeah.
The Blue Jays, they're doing a little bit of all right if they're trying to suck really bad.
Oh, my God. I swear that team doesn't even want to be 500.
One step forward, two steps back.
8 times trying to be 500. You've lost all 8 games.
Bunch of fucking Marys.
And it's not even like the games are good and then they lose. They literally get their asses handed to them.
It seems to be either they get blown out or they're winning in the 6th and they blow the lead.
I mean,
all the time.
Just 2 days ago, I mean, they blow a 5-1 or 5-0 lead?
Yes.
And boom, they, you know, they blow it. It's a tie game. But you know what? Boom, their bats come alive and they win it. They actually recovered and win. Yesterday, just 4-0 after 2 innings.
Yeah.
And just, you know, blunder. And they don't come back. That team needs to understand that you can't win every game with a long ball.
They gotta play smart, but they're playing like fucking knobs.
A little bit of money ball goes a long way.
A little bit of balls. Falls to the wall.
Just get on base.
Yes.
I mean,
strategic.
I mean, any guy knows you have a better chance of scoring when you reach first, second base than you do if you strike out.
Yeah, whatever happened to foreplay, guys? Come on. Yeah. Foreplay's a little bit of all right.
Yeah, Louisville slugger doesn't always have to take it out of the field.
Ah. There ain't nothing wrong with bunting.
Oh, yeah.
The only other thing I have for baseball is I watched a clip on...
Which, by the way, nobody ever does a squeeze play anymore. Just going to point that out. Not seen a successful squeeze play anymore.
What the hell's a squeeze play?
When the guy bumps and there's a guy on third.
You know what? I don't think I've ever actually seen that.
Oh, my God.
But you're right. No one does that. No. You bunt it towards first, guy runs home. Yeah.
Guy goes to steal home and guy bunts it. Come on. For a guy who's wearing a Blue Jays jersey, that's...
I don't know a lot about baseball. I like the Blue Jays, but I don't know a lot about baseball. I'll be completely honest. I'm starting to get into it more. I only started actually like watching it like actively 2 or 3 years ago. Like I kind of just like, oh, okay, Blue Jays suck, whatever. But now it's like I'm actually starting to actively watch it.
Which, I'm going to point this out. My wife, Mrs. Parrish, decided... You know, because my friend, or one of her friends, needed to go to Toronto and then went to a Blue Jays game, decided to say, hey, you know what? I really want to go to a Blue Jays game, so I'm just going to throw it out there.
I would love to go to another one. I have been
Mrs. Parrish, Mr. Parrish, Mrs. Maniac, Mr. Maniac, possible Jays game in the future.
If we can work it out, I'll have Mr. Headline.
Maybe also maybe talk to Ryan Hutchinson, get us a couple bookings out in the Toronto area.
That would be a little bit of all right.
Interesting. Let's point that out. Also, because we are CAC alumni, Cauliflower Alley Club,
I guess
representatives,
that is true, yes.
Shout out to my boy, the golden boy, Greg Anthony, for having successful open heart surgery.
When the hell did this happen?
Yesterday. So really? If anybody notices why I have a gold heart as my Facebook profile picture, it is to support Greg Anthony for his heart surgery. So I just want to throw out kind wishes to Mr. Anthony.
I didn't even know he needed that. Yeah. Granted, I've only ever had one conversation with him, but nice guy.
And they didn't have to cut his beard in the process.
Woo! Good stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah, so.
Isn't he also a minister on the side?
I don't know.
Okay.
We just drank a lot. We didn't talk.
Fair enough. Let's see here.
We talked wrestling, not church.
Yeah. Did you see the Dodgeball cast is getting back together to do a charity thing?
Yeah, I think it's hilarious.
I think it's so good the way they did that.
And are you Team Cobra or Team Average Joe?
Team Purple Cobra, for sure.
Oh, easily.
It's funny because I actually have a Team Average Joe's like T-shirt, but no, Purple Cobras all the way. But no, you can join this too, apparently, and actually win a chance to play Dodgeball with these guys. And girls, I think in Vegas, if you, I don't know, you have to enter in on some fucking website.
You know, we should do that. Win, go play some dodgeball in Vegas, and then when it's all said and done, go watch a hockey game.
Yeah. Well, actually, we never did get to it. Going back to the jersey real quick, what did you think of the Vegas Golden
Knights? I really like them, actually.
I don't know what I was expecting. I was expecting more. I don't know what I was expecting, though, but I was like, you know, they're nice, don't get me wrong.
For first jerseys.
Yeah, they're nice, don't get me wrong, but I was expecting something different.
You know what? That's a thing. I think nobody knew what to expect. I think there's a lot of people who threw out suggestions. I thought they were simple. I didn't think they went...
There's a lot more red than I would have thought there would be.
Well, there was red in the side logo. On the,
yeah, that's true. So, that is true. And actually, the little gold bar on the arms, how it has those little like things inside of them. Little, yeah. That's pretty cool.
So, you know what? I think there's always going to be two ways of looking at it. It's what you see at first glance and then how they look on ice.
Yeah, I agree. You know what? I think once I see one in person, that's when it's really going to...
But I actually like the white ones better than the gray ones.
No, I've always been a fan of like the non-white ones.
Racist.
Actually, no, it's anti-racist. I'm reverse racist, if anything.
So racist.
Yeah. Down with white people.
He's not down with the Ghostbusters.
No. Well, one of them.
Casper the Ghost is the enemy.
Well, I think there's only one other announcement to make before we get into wrestling, and that's...
The Irishman is gay. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Well, that too. But, I mean, that segues into McGregor-Mayweather. It apparently is officially going to happen.
Give me your belt.
August 26th. I was actually really shocked. Apparently, Mayweather is using all his, you know, promotional companies and all this stuff to make all his money. He's going to make $100 million for this fight. McGregor is only making $20. I know, it's $20 million is a hell of a lot of money, more than any of us could ever fathom.
But here's an idea. This is just a downside to what they make just for the fight. I'm sure the pay-per-view buy rates, I'm sure that's where Conor McGregor is going to make the majority of his money.
That's very true. I would have thought, you know, make it interesting. You know, the winner gets $100 million, the loser gets $20. That's it.
Well, I think, too, a lot of people, if they're just using their head... should know that Conor McGregor is not going to beat Floyd Mayweather in a boxing fight.
Yeah, but follow me on this tangent. How funny would it be if he's losing, not by law, but he is, like, you know, noticeably losing, and he just roundhouse kicks Mayweather in the face? How funny would that be?
I would think it'd be actually funnier, even more funnier, if Conor McGregor actually knocks him out with a punch.
That would be sweet.
I think... This would show you the actual end of boxing as we know it.
Probably. Yeah.
Because when you think about it, there's no need for Floyd Mayweather, A, to take this fight, B, to fight anymore at all. He's going to be considered one of the best fighters of all time in the boxing world.
If
he's
not
40,
the best.
49-0.
Pound for pound, I think he might be the best.
Well, I mean, everyone's going to have a soft spot for Muhammad Ali.
Oh, of course.
Mike Tyson could even be up there. Probably not. But at the same time, I mean, there's other fighters that people are going to look up.
Like, but you're right. There's no point in Mayweather taking this fight. He's lost like five fights. He made $100 million each.
Yep.
There's no need for him to take this fight.
And when you look at his last fights, I mean, he absolutely was on another level.
Oh, yeah.
And those are actual fighters. Those are actual boxers.
Yes, so not briefs.
No. Definitely not MeUndies.
No.
But Conor McGregor, as much as I think the casual MMA fan thinks his boxing is very good.
For MMA, it is. But for a specialty of doing nothing but...
And he actually did fight on the Irish boxing scene before MMA. But that does not translate to professional boxing on a world and global stage.
Not even close.
Because... I don't know. You look at Floyd Mayweather, who single-handedly made De La Hoya look stupid.
Yeah.
And then I'm trying to remember the last fight that he had, Manny Pacquiao. You know, Pacquiao is a good boxer, but he was not... He was still in a level that was below Mayweather.
Mayweather's just... He's so good at doing that defensive... You know, he gets his punches in. Has he ever even knocked anyone out?
I never watched any of his fights because, let's face it, they're boring.
That's the thing, because he fights so defensively, but he's so good at it.
But at the same time, that to me, this is where the stylistic matchup could actually play, you know, a better part with McGregor. He's not an idiot when he boxes either.
Yeah.
And to be honest, if you're not going to be aggressive in any way and you can't land that punch, you're not going to win. Yeah. So, I mean, it's tough to say because... Oh, no, I'm going to watch it with the same reason of why I watch CM Punk and MMA.
You want to see it.
I want to see it, for one, because there's going to be nothing else like it. Two, I want to see if Conor McGregor is any good. And three, I want to see if Floyd Mayweather still has it, and let alone, I want to see if he actually tries to finish him. Because I look at this as like, you know, a James Tony Randy Couture, when you saw a boxer who was not that great in the sense of Floyd Mayweather. I mean, it's not like you had the same caliber of athletes in Mayweather and McGregor, but it was up against Randy Couture, and Randy Couture, you know, took offense that James Toney wanted to try MMA. I wonder if Floyd Mayweather is going to take offense that he thinks Conor McGregor knows how to box against...
And then he ends up making a mistake, which would be... Well, and, when it happens.
I mean, and this could be a lot of things, too. I mean, ego has a very, very good way of working against you.
Yeah.
And if we can take one thing out of that Creed movie, and any Rocky movie, your biggest opponent isn't the guy standing on the other side of the cage. It's the one in the other mirror, or on the other side of the mirror.
That's so deep. Yeah, deep, bro.
Yeah, it's like penetration at its finest.
Penetration at its rapiest.
Yeah.
At its finest, I hope.
Yeah.
Have you heard of this guy Lomachenko, the boxer? He's unreal. I've never seen a guy like this before.
Can't say I have.
If you get a chance, anybody who's interested in boxing or just like sparring in general, look him up. I've watched highlights of 4 or 5 fights of him. He's knocked out everybody he's faced. He's only had like 10 fights, but guys come at him with everything, and he literally does the whole Muhammad Ali in the corner where he dodges it. He's doing that. Like, the guy goes to punch, he's 2 steps to the side, and he's knocking him on the side of the face. It's so impressive.
Well, when you think of it, too, I mean, the way Muhammad Ali handled himself and played the mind games and everything in the boxing world, I mean, a lot of people, I mean, could just say, hey, you know what? I mean, that's just how you sell fights. That's how you, become a personality. I mean, that's wrestling 101.
Yeah, absolutely.
Floyd Mayweather. Oh, he's self-admittedly say he's taken a lot of his methods from wrestling. Anybody want a question? I just asked Big Show on the podcast he had with Jericho.
Really good podcast.
But I mean it's a different ballgame. But at the same time, if you want to become a big personality, you got to you know play a little bit to the crowd and to the people. So. We saw Muhammad Ali do it. We saw Floyd Mayweather do it. And
McGregor does it. Lomachenko, he's not so much talking-wise, but he's just talent-wise on another level. It's unreal.
Well, even look at Chael Sonnen, too. He was 100% the same way.
Yeah, I that's true.
But I think that's enough. Actually, the one last thing we wanted to touch on the MMA, boxing world, before we do this.
Okay.
Actually, you know what? No, let's throw this. Mauro Ronello.
Signs with Bellator, announcer. And he's calling the Mayweather-McGregor fight, which will make it even better.
Yes. So, very excited to hear that.
Yes.
Also, I heard that Mike Goldberg, currently the before, used to be the voice of the UFC, has signed with Bellator or is looking to sign with Bellator.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
But one last thing before we change subjects. Speaking of boxing, we do live in the Edmonton area. We want to send out all our well wishes to the Tim Haig family for the loss of Tim Haig, who tragically passed away after his fight with Adam Brainwood. Also, we also want to pass out our condolences to the Brainwood and his family as well. Even though he has said not to direct any attention to him, we also know that...
it can't be easy, the fact that, it's not your fault to cause this, because he shouldn't have fought in the first place, but... Yeah.
But, I mean, let's not take any attention away from the death of Tim Haig and the impact and the toll it had on his friends and family. So our condolences out to Tim Haig, his friends, and his family. And if anybody wants to, look into that further, go to go to Facebook and see, if you can make any way. Because there's a lot of support groups and there's a lot of people who want to help on that. So check out Facebook, check out social media. I'm sure you'll be able to find something there.
Yes.
Commercial
breakdown time.
Yeah.
Let's go with whatamaneuver.net. That's where I go when I want to look my finest.
And what do you do? And what do you get when you want to look your finest?
Well, there are many different things to look at there.
But if
you want to go with my personal take, you go onto the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network page, and from there you can get Struggle Gear.
Oh, but what about my favorite, the vintage One World Empire OWE gear?
It's also there.
Oh, you can get it. My God.
You can get it in t-shirts and sweaters.
What about baby onesies?
They have those too.
I am freaking out right now.
OMG, bitches.
I do not know what to say now.
Exactly. So go to onemaneuver.net and buy yourself some struggle or vintage OWE gear today.
This just in. Possible new struggle gear is on its way to whatamaneuver.net.
We'll keep you posted. Keep with that. Side note. July 1 show, I have new merch. It's officially here. It's going to be here for Canada Day show. I have merch.
And the only way to get this merch is going to Monster Pro Wrestling on July 1 at the Albert Ave Community Hall.
Special time of 2 p.m. It's a day show, so that way you can get your day drunk on.
And if weather permitted, it will be an outdoor show.
So you can get your outdoor day drunk on.
Yeah, and who doesn't like to get their day drunk on?
Catholics.
Nobody cares about the Catholics.
That is so true. Even the Pope doesn't care.
You can.
Exactly. Other than that...
And if you are interested for tickets, please contact Manaik or Chris Parrish for your $10 advance tickets, because they are $15 at the door. Because
of 150 years of Canada. Has taught us anything? It's... The struggle's a little bit of all right.
Think about it. 150 times 10, or 15 times 10 is 150. It's like we... Yeah.
It's almost like we did that purposely.
Almost.
Almost! Also... I'm going to say here on the side. This is episode
28.
28. This is the closure episode.
28 or not 28. That is our episode.
Indeed. And episode 30, which will happen, I think, just after July 1.
Yeah.
I am going to have a new segment on here that I'm releasing.
Oh, my God.
And that's all I'm going to say about it right now. But I have something in the works coming out on the pipeline for this show in 2 weeks.
Ooh, the mystery.
Yeah, the monastery. Oh, the huge manatee. Next week, I will reveal a little bit more.
All right, so this past weekend, Manaik and myself, we, among a few other people, but we attended a WWE Edmonton show.
It was a little bit of all right.
It was a lot of fun.
It was a good time.
We also saw our, common friend in, Adam Scrap Iron Pierce. We just want to say thank you so much for, the time and the, just taking the time to, say hi, take some pictures, just to see you again.
And it's good to know you're a fellow Packer buddy. Yeah. That's cool.
In the words of Seth Rollins, you and Manaik have no souls.
Well, Seth Rollins is wrong.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of Seth Rollins, also going to be the face of the WWE 2K18 video game.
The commercial was nice.
It was really good.
It was good. It was good.
Be like no one else is the tagline, I believe.
Basically, be like Tag Struggle, because we're like no one else. We're a little bit of all right.
Strugglicious, bitch!
Oh, okay, let's dive in, shall we?
Well, I mean, anybody who has a chance to go to a WWE show, we highly consider it. It was a lot of fun.
Mrs. Manaik got a hug from Bailey and then cried. That was funny.
And got on the Instagram.
For WWE? Yeah. Good for her.
And just want to say it was my idea to move all the way to the railing.
Yes, it was.
So you're welcome, Mrs. Manaik.
Yes, you owe him a case of beer.
Yeah.
Or me. We'll share it. Whatever.
Mine. Anyways.
Bray Wyatt is getting divorced.
Yeah.
Because he decided not to follow the buzzards anymore and follow JoJo.
Yeah. He has a thing for ring announcers.
Apparently.
The 4 feet tall ones who are black and look like Hillary from Fresh Prince.
Except for 4 feet tall.
Yeah. And you can't teach that.
Well, we'll get into that in a minute.
When he's on top of...
You know what? No, let's get into that right now. Enzo and Cass are done.
Yeah, they're a little bit of split the fuck up.
But to be fair, I called this months ago. They was building to this.
Everyone called this. Yeah. But it actually, Cass had one hell of a promo, probably the best promo to date in his career.
Yep, and you know what? I've always said that they're splitting off. He will do well as singles. I think Enzo is going to kind of...
205 Live. That's my call right here.
I still think he's going to flounder. I think he'll do all right for a bit, but I think he's going to get lost.
Well.
But honestly, other than 205 Live, not much.
I think his mic skills and his personality is going to keep him relevant because he is quite an entertaining individual.
Yes, that's true.
So, the verdict is out there on this because we'll see what they can do. I mean, who knows? They might actually be able to do some really good work together.
Yep, that is true. It's very possible.
And I actually appreciated that they actually put them the focal point of the show, and they're making other people new stars in the process.
Yep.
I do like that aspect. Also, I'm going to add this out there. I am super excited for Great Balls of Fire.
Yep.
I'm officially invested. Brock Lesnar, Samoa Joe is going to absolutely kill it.
Yep, I agree.
And then, speaking of, I guess we'll just stay on the Monday Night Raw and the SmackDown before we get into Money in the Bank, which will cap off this episode. I actually thought they were both really good episodes this week.
Yes, they were.
I thought the return of Braun Strowman.
Surprising yet delightful.
Oh my God. Just make this guy a fan favorite.
Yeah.
I mean, the pop he got was
huge.
Absolutely amazing. Which led to a distraction where Roman Reigns actually got choked out by Samoa Joe. Which I actually thought that match was really good.
It really was.
So, I think just the idea of having Finn Balor with Elias Samson, who I think he has untapped potential.
I think that'll actually be a lot better than most people think it is.
And then we have possibly Seth Rollins and Bray Wyatt.
Which
I called a few weeks ago.
I don't know. I'm sure we've seen a couple matches with them before.
But during the Shield Wyatt family days.
But I think there's a lot that can be done there.
Yeah, there's a lot. Both have evolved into their own entity now, so it'll be very interesting to see how they go about this one.
Yeah.
But I'm very excited.
I am too. It's going to be good. And as for the women in that division, for Raw, it's still kind of, I don't know where it's going yet. We'll wait and see.
I don't think anybody knows where it's going yet.
We'll kind of have to wait and see on that one.
But speaking of women divisions where nobody knows what the hell is going on, we'll switch to SmackDown Live. And before we get into SmackDown Live as the show, we'll get into Money in the Bank because they had the first ever women Money in the Bank match, which ended up in a lot of controversy.
Until that point, I was enjoying it. It wasn't like, you know, holy shit, this is mind-blowing, but it was good. It was quality. And then
they didn't do more than they needed to, but they did enough to keep you involved, and nobody, I thought, was a weak link in that match.
On a side note, I thought both matches did a good job of, they didn't constantly climb the ladder. They did it a couple times to get the point across, and that was it. Mm-hmm. It was different, and I liked it.
Well, I thought what I liked the best about that match and the other Money in the Bank match with all the men, you saw different psychologies.
Yes.
The only thing, and I think I speak for everyone who didn't like at the end of the women's match, is that you had James Ellsworth actually interfere and grab the briefcase.
So in the first ever women's Money in the Bank ladder match during the Divas or Women's Revolution, you have a guy win and grab the briefcase. What is that saying?
The writers are on crack because on SmackDown Live 2 days later, they actually, well, first we saw the return of Daniel Bryan, and then he kind of made the match again. So next week we'll see the second five lady Money in the Bank ladder match.
Which, why do it in the first place then?
And then James Ellsworth is bad from the ringside. My thing, and I think this would save the match on the pay-per-view, have Shane McMahon come out, ban Ellsworth from ringside, restart the match, and then go about your way.
Yeah.
Because now it just looks like you're 2 weeks behind.
Yeah, I agree. I very much agree.
So.
Pre-show for that, you saw Zack Ryder come back and the Hype Bros facing the Colons.
Yeah.
It was an alright match. I mean, you know, nothing special.
I'm going to say it's bittersweet seeing the Hype Bros back because I do think Mojo Rawley is better in the Hype Bros tag team.
Yes.
I do not dislike him when he's involved in the tag team. However, why I say it's bittersweet is because I want to see Zack Ryder become more aggressive.
Like, kind of like what he did around WrestleMania last year.
I want to see Zack Ryder just get a little bit more physical. I just don't necessarily buy him completely yet.
No.
His aggression away from the ring is different from his aggression inside the ring.
Where he was going when he won the Intercontinental Championship for a day, where he was headed on that route,
yeah,
that I liked.
So, I don't know. That, to me, that's just my my only critique on Zack Ryder. Other than that, it's very nice to see him again. I think it really helps the tag team division on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know why they didn't do a tag team Money in the Bank.
That'd be so good.
I mean, they had enough teams. Especially on SmackDown, you had enough teams.
Yeah. One could argue that'd be an overload, too many ladder match, whatever. But again, maybe next year.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's any different from having, you know, like 8 to 10 guys from your previous Money in the Bank ladder matches in there. Because if you had 4 or 5 teams, I mean, that's 8 to 10 guys right there.
Yeah, that's true.
So it'd be very interesting and a lot more dynamic. So,
no, I agree. But was it after the women's match? What was there?
Well, after the women's match, we definitely, well, we had the. We did have the tag titles between New Day and Usos.
That was actually pretty good.
That was really good.
The way that they ended it with Usos walking out, I like that. It keeps the heat on them. It makes the New Day look strong. Looks like they're going to win. The trust fall from the top rope was nice. I like
yes.
That.
So that was very much interesting. I do hope Xavier Woods gets a little bit more ring time on SmackDown than he does on Raw. Than he did on Raw.
I agree.
So that's my only hope moving forward.
Because he's very underrated. He's very good.
Well, I just don't see how he would get better or even get, you know, invested if he's constantly never wrestling.
Yeah.
So,
pretty sweet gig, though. Never having to wrestle. And
yeah, but as a wrestler, you don't want that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it is what it is.
Every once in a while, you know, traveling a long distance, you know, to get paid for running. That's pretty sweet.
But move on. We also had the women's title match between Naomi and Lana.
Lana.
Let me say something about Lana. You look good, girl. You look real good.
Rusev.
You're wrestling. You're on your way. Not bad for your first main match.
The only thing I don't like is, without getting into it too much, SmackDown, she basically comes up and challenges her again, and Naomi's like, okay, let's do it again next week. And it's like, but why?
I honestly think you'll see something else come into play on that one. I think the Money in the Bank,
yeah,
which I think could lead into an angle.
Yeah, it's possible.
I mean, I just look at the possibilities there, and I mean, that's one of the greatest things about Money in the Bank is that you have all these possibilities.
Yeah.
Also, in Money in the Bank, the pay-per-view goes, we had a surprising tag team match where we saw the revealers of who was attacking Tyler Breeze in the Fashion Files, which ended up being the Ascension.
Which I think, I wouldn't say we could figure out, but I mean, you know, who else could it be, really?
Oh, yeah. What I appreciate is the fact that they actually used these tag teams.
Yeah.
I still would have liked to see American Alpha used in some capacity. Again, like, this is just a thing we have.
I actually forgot they were on SmackDown.
But, I mean, this is just a show. We have 5 tag teams right there where you have American Alpha, you got the Hype Bros, you got the Colognes, you got Fandango and Tyler Breeze, and then you got the Ascension. That's 5 tag teams right there that's not in the tag team title picture. You can do a Money in the Bank with one of those teams, and it could help elevate any one of those.
Yep, I agree.
So,
I agree. What else was there? Oh, Mike Bennett, a.k.a. Mike Kanellis, and Maria Kanellis coming back onto SmackDown. That was pretty cool.
And they're going to educate everyone on the power of love.
That's the power of love. They must be really big Huey Lewis and News fans. What else was there before we get to the main event?
Well, first off, let's just stay with Maria and Mike Bennett, who are billed as Mike and Maria Kanellis.
Yes.
Taking the woman's name, which I like. For one.
It's 2017. It's allowed.
It's a little bit of different.
Yes.
But at the same time, how excited are you to see Mike Bennett in WWE and Maria Kanellis back with the WWE?
It's kind of like almost like the Miz and Maurice of SmackDown, really.
And that kind of ties into my thing. Apparently, from what we saw after Monday Night Raw, the reason why they're teasing Maurice and always walking away from the Miz, apparently Maurice's contract is done with WWE. She'll be taking some time away from WWE
to have babies
or flip more houses. But also that's why we
flip more babies.
That's why we saw the alignment of Bo Dallas, Curtis Axel, and The Miz on Monday.
I don't mind
night.
It actually.
So now Mike Bennett and Maria, aka the Kanellises.
The Canal Eye. Yeah. Plural is an eye. Canal Eye.
But yeah, but at the same time, there you go. That's gonna be that could be your new Miz and Maurice.
And you know what? They could actually feud with a returning Rusev and Lana.
Yeah, but do you think they're gonna build them both back together, or do you think they take Lana and Rusev and use them separately?
I'd be okay either way, to be honest. I think they might do.
I think Rusev by himself could be very interesting.
Yes. Which, by the way, is he still injured? I thought he was cleared to go.
Well, I mean, from what I understand, he was backstage at SmackDown. Whether or not, you know, they're using him right now. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, do they need a rush? I don't know.
Fair enough.
But speaking of somebody who got, I don't want to say rushed, but, you know, was definitely pushed and elevated into the world title scene was Jinder Mahal. And that's where we go to next for Jinder Mahal against Randy Orton.
Yes.
For the WWE Championship.
Indeed.
And, you know what? It was kind of like watching the same guy because I think they're kind of the same kind of athlete.
They're very similar. I think.
I mean, Randy Orton.
Almost at times look kind of clunky.
I mean, Randy Orton definitely is a superior wrestler right now. I mean, he's one of the best in WWE.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Jinder Mahal has taken leaps and bounds in the last few years.
I agree.
And, you know, say what you want about him, but it's over right now. What he's doing is different, and it's, you know, people are reacting to it, and it's good. With him aligned with the Singh brothers, I mean, they're doing some good stuff right now.
Yep.
And say what you want, but he is someone that is making the best of his opportunity, and that opportunity right now has him
on top of the mountain.
Yeah, as WWE champion. Not just, you know, a fluke win against Randy Orton, but a successful title defense against Randy Orton as well. After Randy Orton absolutely went AWOL, and yes, I'm using that line because he went AWOL in the military before joining WWF, yeah. Now WWE. Jinder Mahal and the Singh brothers tried to go after the legends that were at ringside, one of them being Randy Orton's father.
Wait, was it Jinder Mahal or was it the Singh brothers?
It was the Singh brothers. I'm just classifying them all
okay.
together.
Okay.
But at the same time, Money in the Bank is also held on Father's Day. So Randy Orton takes exception, goes absolutely crazy on the Singh brothers. Thus, when he finished, comes back in the ring, gets a pump handle slam from Jinder Mahal, 1-2-3. Everyone thought, I mean, at first I kind of thought it was sudden, but then all of a sudden when you kind of hear Jinder Mahal and talking smack, saying Randy Orton might be a 14-time champion, but he made a rookie mistake against me, and I'm a dangerous competitor. He's like, he took his eyes away from me. And if you're going to do that, you're going to get burnt. And I really like that because they actually told a story.
I agree.
And I really like that. I thought it was a pretty good match. Regardless of if there's a few things that may have, you know, kind of gone wrong, may, you know, could look better.
Looked a little kind of awkward and they can prove upon. That happens. Sometimes you don't have chemistry with the guy right away.
But at the same time, they kept my attention from bell to bell, and that's what matters.
Yeah, absolutely. Are we missing anything else before the main event?
Nope.
Another match.
That, I believe, is it going to the main event.
Okay.
Because I do believe there was, what, 5 or 6 matches?
Yeah, I guess they did a lot more time in that show. You're right. Okay, so the main event, Money in the Bank, ladder match. For the men, you have Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn versus Shinsuke Nakamura versus AJ Styles versus Baron Corbin. I think that's it.
Yeah. First off, we got like the entrances. AJ Styles comes out, boom and pop, good reaction.
Yep.
And then you had Dolph Ziggler.
Oh, Dolph Ziggler. That's who I forgot. I knew I forgot something. Yeah, Dolph Ziggler.
And then you had Sami Zayn.
Yep.
And then you were gonna go Shinsuke Nakamura. Oh no, sorry. Then you had Kevin Owens.
Kevin Owens.
And then you had Shinsuke Nakamura. And during Shinsuke's entrance, which is, this is what I love, because people made a lot of complaints about SmackDown cutting Shinsuke's entrance. So soon in the pay-per-view, they have Baron Corbin attacking Shinsuke from behind in his entrance.
Yeah.
So good. I'm very, I thought it went off really well. So he was deemed not ready to compete to begin the match, so they started the match without him.
Yeah.
And I thought the match was amazing, surprisingly.
Oh, so many high spots that we haven't seen, different ways they do it.
How it was, Kevin Owens did not get hurt in this match is unreal. Beyond me.
Yeah, beyond. A couple of the guys, actually. Like AJ Styles going to get the briefcase and being hung up there. The floor is made of lava, and he does the big old...
Dolph Ziggler taking the Sunset Powerbomb off a ladder.
Yeah.
But then when Baron Corbin is making his way up the ladder, Shinsuke Nakamura's music hits, and then we have, you know, a one-on-one with Shinsuke and Baron Corbin. They battle it out for a bit. Shinsuke,
which is a huge pop there.
Shinsuke cleans house. Oh, looks awesome. And that pretty much sets up what everybody wants to see, a one-on-one face-to-face encounter between Shinsuke Nakamura and AJ Styles.
And the place was just electric.
Yeah. For two guys that prior to 2013, or even 2015, let's say, never saw the inside of a WWE ring, absolutely held the WWE fans
in the palm of their hand.
Yeah. And just ate off it, because these guys are money together, and you can just tell if these two ever have a match, it's going to be absolutely insane.
Oh, yes.
But, you know, just because you saw this, I mean, typical WWE, you know you're not going to get one of them as your winner, because as everyone's fighting, Baron Corbin comes from, you know,
out of nowhere.
And retrieves the briefcase to become Mr. Money in the Bank.
Which I like.
Me too. I think Baron Corbin, again, has untapped potential with WWE. And when you think about how he debuted by winning the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Yeah.
And now he's Mr. Money in the Bank. I mean, he's only been with the company for, well, on the main roster now for just a little over a year.
Yeah.
And he has made such a giant statement so far. And I think this is a really good... move going forward.
I agree.
So,
I agree. I mean, look at the guys that have the Money the Bank has made. It'll propel him to the next level.
Yep. And regardless of, you know, who he takes the title of, if it's even now or 5 months down the road, it'll be a little bit of all right.
It will be a little bit
of all right. And who knows? He could be one of the few guys who cashes it in and fails.
Well, so far there's been Damian Sandow and...
John Cena being the first one.
Right. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
That's a little bit of all right.
And Damian Sandow on, ironically, John Cena.
Yes. Yes, it is. Speaking of which, John Cena is now a free agent.
But he's coming back to SmackDown Live on July 4th.
Yes. Yeah, I think Daniel Bryan summed it up very well in the sense that... he's saying that, you know, Raw will always be looked at as the number one show, just because it's been around for so long and has that, you know, that past, and it's, yeah, it'll always be like the number one seller. But anyone who does really good, like John Cena, eventually make a free agent and go between shows. But if you can go into both shows, I'd be okay with that.
Well, I mean, I think too. I mean, the two feuds I want to see with John Cena, one is on SmackDown, one is on Raw. The one on Raw I want to see is him and Roman Reigns.
That'd be good.
Actually, yeah, there's a few on Raw I want to see, because I want to see him and Samoa Joe as well.
That'd also be good.
I really wouldn't mind him and Strowman, to be honest.
That would also be good.
Actually, him and Elias Samson would be interesting, or Finn Balor. But needless to say, I think this is kind of why he was a free agent, because they can get these. But at the same time, John Cena versus Shinsuke Nakamura has to happen.
Oh, absolutely. I'm willing to bet that you're in agreement where it comes back July 4th to face Jinder Mahal for the title.
This also, I have to say, Roman Reigns has to face Shinsuke Nakamura too.
That would also be good. It'd be a really hard-hitting match. I think that would be a lot better than people think.
So, but yeah, I mean, to me, I think with the whole John Cena free agency, it just opens up a lot of doors. And I think John Cena is the guy who absolutely deserves to, you know, have this choice. Because I think not one person on that roster has done more for the WWE than John Cena.
No, that's very true.
Anybody who dislikes John Cena can dislike John Cena, but at least respect what he has done in the last, you know, 13 years for that company.
Yeah.
So.
Anything else?
No.
Buff Bagwell has a retirement tour coming up, but no dates. That's kind of funny.
Which is funny, because isn't he a male gigolo?
I don't know anymore, but he was.
No dates. That's not a good thing.
Yeah, exactly. PJ Black, a.k.a. Justin Gabriel, broke his leg, his hand, lost a finger base jumping.
That's what.
Which makes you wonder, should wrestlers take these kind of extreme sports and be, you know, morally allow themselves to do that?
It's their choice, their lives. Let them do what they want.
That's true. Yep.
I mean, I don't think you'd be getting away with this if you still worked with WWE.
No, obviously not.
But at the same time, hey. I mean, nothing stops you, so...
Yeah, exactly. The only other thing I have is... I got banned from a Summer Clash show this in August that I wasn't even booked for.
Well, no, I said you were my plus one.
But yeah, but I wasn't even booked originally for it. And in four tweets, kind of like another promotion we know of,
yeah.
I got banned.
Well, I mean, it's not so much a promotion as a show. But at the same time, you're in with one of the champs, so it's all good.
Yeah.
And the
point is...
And he's trying to sell the MPW tag titles like we're not the champions.
Yeah.
So if he wants the MPW tag titles there, well, then he needs you to be there because you have one of them.
Exactly.
And come August 5, which is the tag team tournament.
Yeah.
I know. But yeah, with MPW, I know a little bit of a surprise in store. But, you know, I feel we'll be holding up a couple more championships.
Yes, because we're a little bit of our eyes.
We're struggalicious.
I agree.
And in the words of Greg Anthony and Pony Boy, stay gold.
Stay golden. Indeed, because we're tag struggle.
We miss Sean Martins.
We do. Sean Martins, I miss you, buddy.
Yeah. But we're struggalicious, and we're a little bit of all right.
Yes, we are.
Because we're the struggle, and we are spectacular.
And real.
That like, we exist.
We're a thing.
We're a real thing.
We're a damn real thing.
We're a beautiful thing.
We're beautiful people.
There's a Harvey's just down the street. We're a beautiful thing.
Yes, we are. We have our own burger there.
Yeah. It's struggalicious, actually.
Yes, it is. Point is, it's beer 30. Why don't we go drink?
Yeah, so
we'll find out what happens.
We talk more to you, but we're thirsty. So if you
and we
ever
don't like
want,
you.
Well, I mean, it depends on who they are.
Yeah, for the most part.
I mean, we have our list.
Yes.
So,
list of tape struggle.
This is it for episode 28 of the Sounds of Struggle. Check us next week for episode 29 because it'll be a little bit of
continued. All right.
Yeah.
Follow us on all our social medias: Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. For some.
And, just, you know, check us out, because, you know, we're sexy bitches.
Yeah, we're a little bit of all right.
And, if you want to go and check out any of our past episodes, go to Apple Play, iTunes,
Google Play, Podbean, YouTube has some of them.
Yeah, and check out the Edmonton Sport Podcast Network, check out Sounds of Struggle on none there, go check out all of our good stuff.
Buy our merch,
yeah.
Which I have new stuff!
And that little jobber guy, yeah, we said you have to buy our merch for a follow and a tweet, you stupid idiot.
That's why you get blocked,
yeah.
Dummy.
I mean, you don't go and buy your own stuff. I mean, the object here is to have other people buy your stuff. You don't just buy your own stuff because you don't want to be a mark. You got to get other people to buy your stuff.
That's why you're a jobber.
That's why we offered people follows if they bought our stuff. Maybe you should listen closer. You idiot.
This is why you have no friends.
Yep. And that's why you're blocked by Maniac.
Hell yeah.
And that's why we make fun of you everywhere else. So, again, we're the struggle.
We are real.
And we are spectacular. Later, bitches.
It's bricks.
And Mike the Ref.